All right, we are back with another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. Been away for a bit on an impromptu break. But yeah, now we're back. So, how's it going, Jade? Do you have any church announcements? Yeah, that's it.
Any church announcements? No, not really. I'll just see y'all at DreamCon. Going to the East Coast. I forgot the whole name of it. It's called Ekbach in Philadelphia. So going to that this Saturday. And then DreamCon. And then I'll be on vacation mode. I'm going on a cruise. So
nice.
Getting away for a while before school starts up again. But what about you?
Busy, and things have gotten busier on the gaming creation side now, so gonna be busy, but in a good way. So I too will see folks at DreamCon. Let's see, I do still have like a pending announcement. Well, you're going to be going on a cruise, so it'll probably be announced in retrospect when you get back. After we come back from DreamCon, stay tuned for another announcement, another launch, basically. Let's see. Is there anything else that I'm not under NDA for? I'm under NDA for a thing or two, then I don't even know if the audience cross paths like that, so I'll just wait. But yeah, DreamCon's the only thing coming up. I'm still streaming, I'm still making the videos. I've slowed up a little bit, but I'm back to making videos. I think that's it. Yeah, stay tuned for other stuff. I'm gonna be a busy, busy person, and I am also going to do a short break, like still working, but doing a short break, for these projects. So, I think that's it. Yeah. We're not quite in summer hours yet. We'll basically be in summer hours around like once DreamCon starts. So, this break was a little more impromptu because stuff popped up and kept popping up, but the summer hours break will be a little more like intentional, where we might just do this every other week, at least for a month, as other things are going on and we're traveling and stuff. So yeah, so probably until August is when we'll do that. So, but we will still try to be as prompt and consistent as possible. That's all. And there are certain things that I'm probably not going to talk about at all as it's going on, because I'm not trying to get in trouble with anyone. But yeah, just keep that in mind. If certain court cases are not talked about, there's a reason. All right. Moving right along, let's get into our docket with the news beat. While we were away, and as like a post-Easter, I don't know if you want to call it a surprise, a treat, or what. So, for a little bit of background, the Pope passed away on Easter Monday morning, and so Rome, the Vatican had to elect a new pope, so now we got a new pope, and surprise, the new pope's American, and this is the first ever American pope, which, yeah, so a bit of background on him. His name is, or his government regular name is Cardinal Robert Prevost. He has elected Leo to be his pope name, so he is Pope Leo the 14th. And he was elected as the first U.S.-born pontiff. He made his first remarks as Pope from the balcony, per usual. And he called for peace and paying tribute to the late Pope Francis. He's 69 years old, which is kind of normal-ish because popes are usually... they're usually older once they're elected. But so he's not the youngest ever, I believe, but he's young for a pope. 69 years old from Chicago. He actually spent a lot of his career as a missionary in South America, holds dual citizenship in the U.S. and Peru. I think he spent like 20 years there. And he served as a bishop. He most recently led a Vatican office for bishop appointment. So he was helping Pope Francis before he passed, before Pope Francis passed. He was helping him hand select bishops. And he's expected to build on Pope Francis's reforms, which if you know anything or knew anything about Pope Francis, he was considered fairly liberal as a pope, as liberal as you can get within the Catholic Church, because overall it's still pretty conservative, but he was pretty reform. He's pretty reformative pope in that sense. So, Prevost is kind of building on that legacy. He's giving center left, if we had to put a pin in it. So that is that. That's what happened over at the Vatican. Why do I care? It's just interesting. I don't know why I get like swept up in the politics of the papacy, but I do. So, any thoughts on having an American pope now? I will say when he was first announced, I was kind of feeling a sense of dread because I was like, I don't think America deserves. I don't know if we deserve having a pope at this point. But after reading his background and like getting to know more about him, I was like, oh, okay, that makes a little more sense of like maybe he's going to missionary us back to something. I don't know what, but something. But anyway, your thoughts on having an American pope?
Yeah, isn't he an octoroon too?
He don't claim it,
that's the rumor though.
That's a rumor.
Yeah, a rumor. He's octoroon.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, that means you're an eighth, like just barely on the cusp of having black in you. That's the rumor. So I was like, hey, if you don't claim us, I don't care. We still in there. but no, it's cool that we have an American pope, because like how overseas anytime we get American royalty or anything like that, that like how Megan Sussex, because she said my name is Sussex, not Markle. She said put some respect on that. It's Sussex. She married into that name.
She worked hard for it. I'll give her that.
Yes, she did. But it's cool when we get like an American in a foreign land doing something that other people hold in high regard. So when they have like some type of status, so it's just like, hey, one of us made it there. Like you said, do we deserve it? I don't know. But one of us made it there.
One of us made it there. Yeah.
He's literally somebody's uncle. So like.
Yes.
Like, it's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. Like I said, I warmed up to the idea because I was like, but then I was like, oh, he seems like another cool pope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like just a cool one, and he's from Chicago, so like I said, it's just somebody's uncle that you could tell a story and be like, that's some cool random fact. You're like, yeah, my uncle's the pope. Like, no big deal.
But yeah, so that happened. So cheers to him, hoping for the best. I'm sure he'll do fine. Yeah. So, the duality of American leadership is going to be quite interesting moving forward. All right. Moving right along. Speaking of leadership, moving right along. Seems like everybody had fairly normal elections this time around. So I guess that's good for them. I'm happy for y'all. By everybody, I mean Germany and Canada. So the German conservative leader, Friedrich Merz, was elected chancellor by parliament in the second round. This is on Tuesday. This was about a week and a half ago. But he was voted or elected chancellor in the second round after an unprecedented defeat on the first attempt got his coalition government off to a wobbly start. Even though he's conservative in Germany is kind of similar to our moderate center. Friedrich Merz, who's 69, led his conservatives to a federal election victory and signed a coalition deal with the center-left Social Democrats, won 325 votes, 9 more than needed for an absolute majority in a secret ballot. On the Canadian side, Mark Carney is staying on as Canada's prime minister. The vote was basically seen as a referendum about which candidate could best handle our leader, who sparked a wave of nationalism, Canadian nationalism, by threatening to annex Canada as a 51st state and placing stiff tariffs on the country. Well, if it helped y'all elect someone a little more sane, then glad we could do that for you.
Right.
So, but these two elections were largely kind of seen as a referendum of like, maybe far right isn't the way to, maybe we don't want to go that way. That happened. So things are, I'm not saying things are perfect over there on either country. I know there's still quite a lot that Canadians, especially those who are, of color, there we go, or indigenous, there are plenty they could probably point to of like, no, this is not all sweet, but hey, you guys got leaders who basically
are sane.
Well, I was gonna say that you can forget about, honestly. Sane works too. So you know, there's that. But your thoughts on these election results?
Yeah, I totally agree that they have, like you said, leaders that are more not memorable and for a good reason, that things are calmer over there. It's not the mess that we're in half the time. And going to little spats with every country that you see fit. So it's like, oh, it's a little bit calmer. But kudos to them for the kind of not bringing together the just kind of bringing together their politicians so that way they can have somebody to go against.
Yeah.
Cheeto dust. I was like, we find other ways to say without saying. But yeah, it's like, yes, good job, guys. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they're making friends with people across the,
across the pond?
No.
Across enemy lines?
Not enemy lines, but within their own government.
Across the aisle.
Thank you, across the aisle. So they're shaking hands with people across the aisle. So it takes a lot for that to even happen.
It do.
So
that's why our budget bills be nail biters every year.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's that on that.
Yep. All right. Moving right along to what's going on in the Creator Hub. It's not really a lot. The majority of the news is actually on TikTok, which is kind of surprising. But let's go over it. So Twitch may soon allow account creation and login through Google, Apple, and Amazon accounts. So instead of just Google or just instead of an email address, you can like create your account and log in through those three platforms. You'll soon be able to create clips as a popover on the page, allowing you to continue watching the same tab while adjusting the clip length. If you are a clipper or a streamer. Or I guess if you're clipping your own stream or own VOD, I guess. In YouTube news, for those of us who want to feel old, YouTube just turned 20, which when you think about it, is like, oh yeah, that's right. We didn't used to have YouTube as kids. We had to go to the store and buy software.
Yes.
Jesus. Got to go to the Office Depot.
It's like, I feel old. Because I can't even say I was a little kid. I was a teenager by the time YouTube was created. I was 13, so just at the cusp.
I was close enough to teenager. I was 11. I was preteen, but still.
It's just like, gosh. That puts things into perspective.
It really does. I'm still stuck as like we really would have to go to the Office Depot to get whatever software we needed.
Right. What's the other one? Computer.
Oh, CompUSA. Got them all.
CompUSA. Yes. You said it quick too. You're on that quick.
Damn it. Yep.
Oh gosh. And those used to really just be around. Now they're like few and far between.
Right.
But Lord. Our Micro Center. Like gosh.
Yeah.
Gosh. Before YouTube, we had actual recipe books. You couldn't just watch a video.
Yep.
Nobody was vlogging.
Yep.
Yeah. We had these things called documentaries. That's how you learned about people who traveled.
Yep.
I was like, yeah. Like, whew.
Before the internet was good, you didn't blog. You just wrote it down in a journal.
Exactly. It's just, wow.
Oh, yeah. And game trailers were on TV. Or sometimes they would be at the movies.
Mm-hmm. There was no watching videos back on YouTube. It was...
Nope.
Even when YouTube first started, it wasn't videos on there. It was just like... Not like music videos. You were still watching MTV and VH1.
Yep.
It's like, wow. Wow.
Yep. There is no breakdown analysis of what happened in this trailer because... You had to catch it on VCR or DVD.
Wow.
If you did that, or you would just enjoy watching it when it came on as a commercial.
This is crazy. YouTube is old. Like, I don't even remember the first YouTube video I watched.
I kind of do. It was just, it was for choir practice. That's what I remember.
I remember what YouTube looked like.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the first YouTube video I watched. That's crazy.
I do kind of miss the days where you only had to get 100,000 views to get monetized, though. I think 100,000 cumulative.
Easier to obtain.
Yeah. But hey. Anyway, now that we had a nice trip down memory lane, onward to TikTok. So TikTok is adding footnotes, which is their version of Twitter's community notes. TikTok claims live creators are collectively earning $10 million per day, which seems like a stretch, but all right, if that's by y'all's count, then sure. TikTok has a new feature for select creators called the Creator Chat Room, aimed at building strong connection with your community. And also Trump says he'll extend the non-enforcement of the TikTok ban again if no deal is achieved before June. You might as well just say, like, TikTok is here to stay, I feel like, at this point. Like,
exactly. Like, it's here to stay. So why are y'all playing? Like, you're playing in our face. You're playing in our face. And the fact that you're going to do that on Juneteenth, that's the real kicker right there. You're doing it on Juneteenth.
Oh, I didn't even... I didn't even put two and two together. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that was done on purpose. It was just because it was 90 days first, and then it was 75 days, and it just happened to fall on that day. It's still ironic. Morbidly ironic, yes. Though.
Yes.
But yeah, anything else on the TikTok stuff?
But good, kudos to TikTok for having the creator chat room to kind of bring creators together to speak more and to collab. Like, it could easily be a way for creators to collaborate or to bounce ideas. Hopefully it doesn't go awry. But that's a cool little thing. Yep. It's kind of like how the guilds, but except not.
It probably will go awry. Yeah.
Like, there's a way if they... Hopefully they mod it.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But yeah. Like, I wonder if it's going to be something like a Reddit for your creators. To where that'd be you cool. Have to be involved. Yeah. And just kind of have conversations, have mods to be like, hey, you're out of line.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Alrighty. And then in creator news, Instagram's CapCut competitor edits is now available to all users. I haven't used it yet. But yeah. For those of you who are fans of GTA, Grand Theft Auto, and you're patiently awaiting Grand Theft Auto 6, it will be delayed until May 26, 2026. I know it's coming out. It's going to come out. Wait, yes, I know it's going to come out 2026. I just forgot what day. But yes, yeah, delayed to late May of 2026. So keep holding on. Let's see. Scammers impersonating Twitch partners of all sizes are becoming a bigger problem. Be careful when interacting with accounts on any platform that claim to be creators. I think this is happening more so on like Twitter and Instagram. Not Twitch itself, but it's just a thing that's happening. So, you know, just be aware. And also maybe check on that parasocial relationship a little bit of like, I don't truly know this person. Unless you truly know that person, in which case you probably have some other way of contacting them.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything on that though?
Scammers have nothing to do, I swear.
They really don't.
They have nothing to do.
Maybe that's their job, is scamming. So that's why, yeah.
I would hope, because I was like, if you have nothing else to do and you're just scamming, I hope that's your full-time job. But yeah, I haven't tried the edits from Instagram yet, but I'm somewhat curious about it to see how it compares to CapCut, because I use CapCut a lot.
Yeah.
And I wonder like how user friendly it is. And just how easy it would be. Like, I'm sitting here downloading it right now so that way I can use it to try it out. But like how user friendly it is. I hope it's not just a whole bunch of AI BS.
Yeah.
But I'll play around with it and see. And then once you see, it's just like, okay, I can give a final verdict next time we stream. to just kind of give a more view on it. Now, Grand Theft Auto, that is hilarious. These people have been waiting forever, and they're going to keep waiting forever for this game because it's yet another delay.
Delays all around.
Yes. Like, I saw a video of this guy who he's been waiting for it since his kid was a baby, and she's a teenager now.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I don't feel so bad.
So,
y'all been waiting that long people been waiting that long for Grand Theft Auto 6?
Because 5 came out. In 2013.
Oh, I'm going to shut the hell up then about my Kingdom Hearts. I'm going to wait.
So, yeah, they've been waiting quite a while. Quite a while.
Dang. I did not know. I mean, okay, Grant, we did wait 13 years for Kingdom Hearts 3. That's a whole nother thing. But still, I didn't realize that, GTA 5 came out in 2013. Dang. Sorry, guys.
It's like, I feel like they're going to give Elden Ring a run for their money, because Elden Ring for years was like a running joke. They kept getting a most anticipated game of the year at the Game Awards. And like, even though nobody would vote for GTA,
right.
But it's like, it's the same thing where it's just like, is it coming out? Is it coming out? It's coming out. We're waiting for you. So yeah,
I know that the role play is gonna go pretty crazy though once it does come out.
Yes, the people who just like discovered GTA are hilarious, because some of the things when they're like, I hope it's not anti-cop, and they're like, it's literally called Grand Theft Auto.
Like, what do you think you're doing in there?
Like, it's not kumbaya feels up in that game. They're just funny.
I didn't realize people didn't know what the point of GTA was, but
I literally just grew up thinking it was basically like The Sims for boys.
I mean, basically. Sims for boys. It's just got cars, you're stealing cars, and it's more rap music, and, you know, a couple of sex workers here and there, and yeah.
It's like, it's a different, yeah. It's an alternate of Sims for the people who and then I was like, so I don't want to hear anybody who ever plays GTA hate on Sims, because I'm like, you're basically playing The Sims. That's what you're doing.
Touche, touche.
Yeah.
I've played neither, so. Alrighty. So, couple things on Just Don't Care this week. I think I did it backwards. Oh no, I didn't add the HBO on my stream deck. Hang on.
Wait, which one?
Exactly.
There were so many pictures. There are so many memes to pick from.
Exactly. Oh, it didn't pop up here. Probably popped up on. Is it on my downloaded files? Stand by. No, it's not there either. It's just disappeared into the ether. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. I'll put the thing back up. Anyway, that's why. It was here, wasn't it? Yep, it was. I found it. But yeah, let's talk about HBO's name change. There we go. All right. Let's talk about HBO's name change, where branding experts said it was a corporate walk of shame to flip Max back to HBO Max. But yeah, consensus among branding experts is that WBD's Warner Brothers decision to resurrect HBO Max after 2 years of life as Max was a tacit acknowledgement that it committed a big strategic error, one that continues to cause confusion. The latest name change is an attempt to correct one of corporate America's biggest branding fumbles. My question is, why y'all keep changing it? It did start out as HBO Go, and then went to HBO Max, and then Max, and then Max Black, but still Max, and now it's back to HBO Max.
I like Max Black. But it's Max, but it's Black.
Exactly.
It's like, oh. Now HBO goers can feel like iPhone users because we get a new iPhone and it'd be the same thing.
Yeah, basically. I don't get the decision to keep changing the name.
I don't either. And then I was talking with Mike with this because we were just like taking away the HBO name was stupid because that's your bread and butter. That's the big name out of that, because HBO Go was when they first started going into streaming.
Right.
HBO Max, it was because they merged with Cinemax.
Right.
Then they dropped the HBO, which made no sense. They're like, we're just Max. It's like, okay, so Cinemax? Like, no, we're Max. It's like, but that kind of seems more the Cinemax side than HBO side. And they're like, Max Black. Okay, but again, Cinemax. But now they're back to HBO Max, which is like, okay, that makes more sense because you're back to the original concept of it being HBO and Cinemax combined together. It was like, it's just so silly. It's so silly.
Yeah. So, for those, I guess if we're wondering how corporate's doing, not that great either. So everybody's struggling. All right. Moving right along to our next Just Don't Care. Twitch had banned Kanye within 7 minutes. He created an account, attempted to stream on Twitch, and was banned within 7 minutes. Good job, Twitch.
They do be listening sometimes.
They do. I don't know if it was just a name tied with his latest antics or like if he actually did something on stream, but it only took 7 minutes for Twitch to be like, yeah, no, that's all right. We're good.
They said take that over to Kick.
Correct.
Over here.
Correct.
That's a quick ban. Like, what did you do in 7 minutes? How much could you have done? Like, that's all it took.
I'm assuming it was reputation.
Probably, because his antics currently.
Yeah.
If you got on there saying anything foolish.
Like in his latest song.
He has a song out.
The you don't want to know.
My favorite lyric from him, because it's my favorite current lyric from him, is because he's like, I miss the old Kanye. It's like, yes.
Yeah. I do. Yeah.
Because this new Kanye, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, no, got a song out. The people who were complaining about it was enough for me to be like, all right, I never have to watch that. Thank y'all for summarizing. Don't know who signed up to be the dancers, but that is, it was basically the stuff he had been tweeting about. Most of the stuff he had been tweeting about, a la Germany in the 1930s, was in the song.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
He can continue to get banned from this thing. I wish more people would band together and ban him. I miss the old Twitter where they would ban you for...
I know, right?
For quickness. Miss that. Yes.
But, oh, well. But get on Twitch.
Yes.
This is like streamer heavy, just don't care. So Kai Cenat launched his streamer university, and he's seeking about 150 streamers to join the weekend loan experience. Over 7 million people attempted to access the site within the first 24 hours. I'm putting this in just don't care because I had heard, I had heard he was, only letting in Black streamers. Which,
I love that for him.
If true, is hilarious. So,
because we don't get enough opportunities, like, legit.
Yeah. And I see it as, because he is also Black, I see it as him supporting his own people, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it's true, that's what I heard. I thought funny if true. Streamer University over
there.
Huh?
Go ahead.
That was like Streamer University in itself is actually a pretty decent idea. But I guess like my whole thing is like, I don't think there's a certain way to stream, but it would be interesting to learn from someone like Kai Cenat who has grown to be like this huge streamer, so. Part of me wonders, it was like, was it just the timing? Did you have really good timing with stuff? Or was there like a secret sauce? But yeah, I didn't know if he had anything else on that.
Yeah, no. I just think it's pretty cool that he's doing it. If it's for everybody, that's cool. If it happens to be just for Black streamers, that's even cooler. Just like I said, because the amount of streamers that are big, and then when you think about out of all those huge streamers, how many are minorities?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about, and then if you notice when they are minorities that, or people of color, that it's a group collective.
Yeah.
It's not just a single streamer by themselves. It's a collective of them because they have to work together in order to be big. And then, like, you have one that might branch out that becomes bigger than the rest of the group.
Yep.
But it's a collaborative effort versus just being able to be like a PewDiePie. Yeah, PewDiePie.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's just like, it's a little bit harder. So if it is something like that, like, that's cool. But if it is for everybody, that's cool too. It's just like, and then that's somebody who's current.
Right.
In trying to do it versus somebody who's like, doesn't have views anymore or anything like that. And they're like, hey, this is how you become a streamer. This is what you should do.
Yeah. Or they like took a hiatus from streaming and then tried to do Streamer University.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, this is pretty cool. So I'm interested to see how that goes for him. Because Kai Cenat's been on a roll. Like, he's been lucky he blew up, and then he's just been on a steady roll, and he's been smart about everything he's doing.
Smartish. Hey, Keith. Smartish.
Business-wise.
He's made some missteps.
Yeah. He's been smarter than a lot of other streamers.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Because it's like the Paul brothers, like, yeah. Them videotaping bodies and
they're still millionaires to this day, and it makes me mad.
They are. It's because they're mediocre.
I know. Mediocre. I know.
And yet, that somehow they answer to, they, like I said, they fall in a category that we don't appeal to, which is like suburban white kids.
Yeah, no. Yep, not so quite my audience.
Yeah, but they're huge.
Man, failing up is one of those things of like, I wish I could fail upwards. I just don't think I'm a right demographic to.
Yeah. We would take you to the side so quick and be like, M. Ma'am, what are you doing?
Oh, you mean if I started doing like really wild shit and like just try to box myself into a certain. Yeah.
Yes. I'd be like, no. Have to pull up against the houses randomly, have intervention on stream.
No, I'm not so desperate that, no, I'm not doing that. I have limits, and that limit is being an adult who gets sleepy at 9 p.m. You're here. anything else, though, on Streamer University?
No, for that.
Cool. For the weekly roundup, I just wanted to talk about Sinners.
Yes. That masterpiece.
So I've only seen it once, but that's because I saw it once and got hella busy, and so I haven't been able to go back and see it. But interesting little tidbit, Sinners has been dominating the box office, and it's been 4 weeks since it's been out, and as of the writing slash stream, Sinners has earned about $290 million globally, $220 million domestically. And for a record, it had a $90 million budget. So it has out-earned, you know, its budget. And when you out-earn your budget, you're actually making more than twice of what your budget was, because what goes into the movie also goes into advertising. So it's really 90 times two, but it's still out earned is the point, which is great. Yeah. So love the movie. Let's see. My thoughts on the movie overall was like, this is great. I want more. Pretty much. I'm glad that Ryan Coogler like took a very honest look at what was going on. I don't want to spoil it too much if y'all haven't seen it. I know it's been 4 weeks, but I'm still trying to not spoil, considering this is going on Twitch and YouTube later. So I will just say I love that Ryan Coogler took a very honest yet respectful look at 1930s Mississippi. And that he didn't lean too heavily one way or the other, where he could have, where other people have. I'm talking about the church. Because, yeah, I was like, yeah, that could have gotten real churchy real quick, but it did not. So I personally appreciate that, because, yeah, there are stories about people who, like, they grew up in the church. It's not that they no longer respect where they came from, per se, but it's just like, yes, that wasn't for them. Just like Preacher Boy. So... yes, he handled everything so responsibly. But yeah, loved it. Loved seeing a full-figured chocolate woman get loved on.
Yes.
Yeah. Michael B. like did his thing. I know a lot of people be like, he be overacting, but he did not overact in this, so.
He acted so good that you forgot that he was playing, that's the same actor playing two different characters.
Yes.
Like, it was that, like, he had mannerisms for both of them.
Yes.
Completely separate. So you could tell when one was Smoke and one was Dak.
Yep.
So it's like, yes.
It was
so good.
It was good. I loved it. I was highly entertained by all the Saints getting mad at it, though. on Threads, and I was just, I read a few of what church folks were actually saying about it, but I was reading mostly like responses and everybody else being like, golly, this is why the church isn't so popular anymore. Yeah, I just found it entertaining. But let's see, key takeaway, everybody was like, don't invite everybody to the cookout, which me personally, I was like, y'all shouldn't have done that in the first place, but it's okay, you live and learn.
About the great film. Oh my God. You would come in when we're talking about sinners.
Of course. I'm about to see it a fourth time.
Nice. But let's see. Key takeaway outside of not inviting everybody to the cookout. I don't know how I would put the key takeaway in a sentence, in like one sentence outside of that. Yeah, it was a lot there. Coming out, the katata. I know, right? Hey, Didi.
Since Black Mirror, actually. Y'all don't remember season 3, Black Mirror, where she's with U.S. Agent. Mm-hmm. Check it out. It's called Plaything. And Ghost. Ghost is also in that episode. A lot of people would be more famous later.
So you saw Sinners 3 times. I'm jealous of y'all who got to see it multiple times. My life, like, we went to see Sinners that weekend, and then everything just got hectic. So I haven't been able to go back.
I've seen it twice. I was supposed to see it 3 times because I saw it first in the 70 millimeter.
Yeah.
That was amazing to watch it like that, because you got to see the graininess of the film. And it just felt so on time for it. And then watched it in regular. And then I have tickets to see it in IMAX 70 millimeter, but I can't go because work now. But Mike is going to go see it. So Mike, this will be their 4th time going to see it.
Correct. Once in IMAX, once in IMAX
7. Oh, yeah, we saw it in IMAX. That's what it was. We didn't see it regular. We saw it IMAX.
Oh, okay.
We
also
saw it
in actual film.
So that's it.
Okay. Which is weird to see a film like that. It's been years since I've seen that.
But it was so good in 70 millimeter. I was like, I wish everybody had the opportunity to see it that way.
I don't know if we even have a theater that has 70 millimeter. We saw IMAX.
Yeah, it wasn't in everywhere. It was only in select states that they had the theaters for it, that are equipped for it. And then, like that whole YouTube video where Ryan is going over all the ways you can watch it and like the difference in the screens and all that stuff. There, and he was explaining like which states where you could see it.
Yeah,
New York and California were like the only 2 places where you could see all versions of it.
That tracks.
Which makes sense,
though. So yeah, it's like, yeah. But in Atlanta, they had a certain, I don't know if they had 70 millimeter, but I know they had the IMAX. I think they had.
It might have been an IMAX.
It might have been set IMAX 70 millimeter, but not just 70.
Like Baltimore had regular 70.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was good. To be a horror movie.
Yeah.
To make that much money.
Yeah.
That's just wild.
To be a horror movie and to like have it based in history and have music in there, that was well done. I think I would say that Sinners is Ryan Coogler's best movie to date, but I know that's not going to be his best movie ever because that's only his 5th movie.
Yes.
Ever.
and for the people that think that they're going to get another one, I highly doubt it because Ryan Coogler does not do, outside of Marvel, seconds.
And that's only because he's like contracted to what Marvel says.
Exactly. Like, because even Creed, he did so good on Creed. And then Creed 2 was Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, so did I see Creed? I know I saw Creed 2 and 3. I don't know if I saw Creed 1.
3 was Michael B. Jordan. 2 was someone else. I forgot their name, but someone totally different.
I didn't say all of Creed. I said Creed.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I thought you said Michael B. Jordan did 3. Did 2.
I didn't say Michael B. Jordan did 2.
Oh, my bad. Incorrect. But he did produce all of them.
Yes, he did produce them.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does all the movies just kind of a one and done.
Yeah.
The most tragic movie that I've seen from Ryan was Fruitsville Station. I'll never see that again.
Not because
it was a bad movie.
I refuse to watch it just because I know what it was about. I was like, I'm sure he did a great job. I ain't watching that.
Yes, I agree, Didi. Once is enough. Like, when you see it, it's so good, but it's just also too good because it's a little too real because it is based on reality. It's based on an actual thing that happened to actual people. And it was just like, whoo, this was hard. It had you in your feels.
Yeah.
But Ryan Coogler does a really good job. Like, I can't wait for the next thing he does. And
USC.
Oh my gosh. And Mike is ecstatic because they are also a USC film alum. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, also.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Coogler is, I don't know if he's producing or executive producing, but he's one of the producers on Ironheart that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward, especially after watching the trailer yesterday. No, that was this morning. Early this morning we watched the trailer. I was like, I can't wait.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say, I love Ryan Coogler too, because he is unapologetically himself.
Yes.
He has not changed. He has not switched up. He doesn't code switch.
Yeah.
He's just, like, you can tell he is from California.
Bay Area.
You can tell. That babe coming out, it comes out of him. So, yes. But it's just, oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I definitely want to see Sinners again. Favorite scene, obviously, was the juke joint. My next favorite scene was actually when Smoke went into town, and he taught the little girl to barter, and just kind of seeing that, and just how he handled different stuff and how he was setting up to get into the juke joint and all that. So seeing those interactions was like everybody's gonna say the juke joint was their favorite scene, but outside of juke joint, I would say that would be my favorite scene. Oh yeah, the remix dance.
Look, that Irish jig was killing me.
So many memes were coming from the outside. That's what's so funny. It's like,
yes.
We were kind of doing the same thing when they were river dancing, and like, oh, I think it was the year that the Queen had passed, but video came out with the Irish river dancing, and it was just like, oh, they kind of getting it. I get it.
Yes. Because it was so good. I loved it. I loved, of course, the juke joint scene. That one, like you said, I think everybody's favorite. It was just because the music, and it was just everything.
Yeah.
It was the past. It was the present. It was the future. It was everything and more. And it was just like, but yeah, I'm trying to think what my next. It'd probably be a lot of the scenes with Annie.
Yeah,
it was just because it was like seeing representation on screen.
Yep.
For all the people being like, ooh, I thought it was his mother. First of all, they're the same age. So shut up. No, you didn't. I was like, that's just stupid.
It was, but I was just, it was one of those things, it's like, y'all just saying that because she's bigger.
Yes.
Like, exactly, let's be real.
She's full figured, and like, and she dominates in everything she's in. Like, the first time I saw her and I noticed her was in, what was that show? Lovecraft Country.
Yeah.
When she played the sister, and that, I was like, I like her.
Yeah.
And then I found out she wasn't even American. I was just like, ooh, I love when you find out when they're not American. And you're like, your accent is just killer. So, yeah.
Her accent was really good in Sinners.
Yeah. I was like, and her, that's my second favorite scene. Her and Cornbread going back and forth.
Oh. Yeah.
Because, spoiler alert, I have to say that part of that joke about him talking about her grease.
Cooking in old grease.
That was funny. And she stepped out of character, like, not out of character as in herself, but her character stepped out of character and was like, hold up now. I know you're not talking about my food. It was one of those moments.
Yes.
I was like, yeah. I was like, she forgot you talking to me. They thought it was a Hank. I was like, you forgot what you were dealing with for a second. It was like, hold up. What? Oh. Like, and knowing that she was in Loki, I would go back and watch it because I did not like Loki.
What?
I
loved Loki.
It didn't catch me. I tried to watch the first half. It was not catching me. So I just gave up on it. So now, but knowing that she was in it, I'd be like, okay, I guess I can go back and watch it. Because when she popped up in
Deadpool?
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Deadpool. Yeah. Deadpool Wolverine. I was just like, hey, I know her.
Yep.
So yeah. But yes,
love her.
You're in the same text.
I was good. Well, it buzzed, and I was like, "Oh, it's like buzzing." But yeah,
mine too. When we both looked down, I was like, "I think we're looking at the same exact message."
So let's see, outside of not letting everybody at the cookout, which again, it was like, could have been told you that. But outside of that, what was your key takeaway? I think I was just more so enthralled of like, oh, an honest look of like, well, I didn't come from the Delta, but it was like, oh, close enough. Honest look at my home state though, like finally. And it wasn't like overly done.
My key takeaway was it was the actual history within it. The, like you said, the how people were in the Delta back then.
Yeah.
How you have like the Chinese Americans.
Yep.
Well, the Chinese immigrants at that point and the Chinese Americans. And the grocery stores and being, they weren't black, but they also weren't white.
So right. They could
go into that fine line between the two.
Yeah.
How it was being black back then, how it was being, how Remick and his ancestry of coming into it, being Irish, like even that ancestry, it was interesting to see all of that played out and it made sense. And it was just like, oh, okay. So it wasn't black trauma, which I love.
Yeah.
Anytime that it's not black trauma, it's like, thank you.
Exactly.
But you gave us history based on other people too during that time period, not just us. So it was just like a representation. Even the indigenous people, because, oh my God, they were funny. They said bye and left.
Yeah, I was like, that was my other favorite part of like when the Choctaws, when they told him once and she wasn't listening and he was like, well, sun's going down. Y'all be easy.
Yep. It's like, oh. That was so good. I was like, that was a true moment right there. Where you like, when you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you once and one time only. And that was it.
A lot of people were like, a lot of people were saying they wish they could see more of the Choctaws. And I was like, no, they were there for the right reason. Let them go and bail the way. And I was like, as they should.
Yep. They were sitting at home chilling. It's like, oh. But yeah, that was my takeaway from it. It's just, it was rich in history.
Yes.
While it was still a horror film. So it brought real world elements to it that were so good. Like you said, also, just don't invite everybody to the cookout. Not everybody is invited.
No. But yeah, I was going to say also that last scene of the beauty in it, but also the get back. You know what I'm talking about? Not the last scene, but with Smoke was fighting the Klan.
Yes.
It's like, that it was a beautiful moment, but also it was like, it's a little get back too. And I was just like, that did my heart good.
Yes. It was hard to hate a character. Like, Remick, he's a villain. But I was still
I was like, he got this points. This motherfucker is
funny.
He funny too, but he was like, dang, you got some points. I ain't falling for it, but.
Because he was doing wrong for all the right reasons.
Right.
And that's the messed up part. It was just, but it was so good. It was so good.
Also, a lot of people didn't like, or they were like, Grace ruined the whole thing. I'm not gonna lie. If English wasn't my native language, or I spoke another language, or like I was somewhere else and English was a foreign language, and a vampire, like my husband got taken, now he a vampire, and the vampire like spoke to me in my own tongue, I would probably crash out too. I can't fully be like, oh no, she was wrong. I'm not saying what she did was right. I'm just saying I understand the crash out.
Yes. It's like, yeah. And then that also played into the whole race thing back then.
Yeah.
Because like I said, they weren't white, but they also weren't black.
Right.
So, and I felt like Grace was more for the white side versus being with the black people. Because of how, like,
I would say Grace just didn't want to be bothered. She was just there to make that money.
True. She was there to make her money. She did her sign. She made her money. They got the product out there.
Yeah.
They were good. And it's just, like you said, she's somebody that speaks in your language out of nowhere. And it's like, whoa, hold up.
And said what he said, though. I was like, I get it.
But yeah.
Trying to think if there is anything else. Outside of the Saints being mad. I will say I'm legit kind of surprised at how vitriolic church folks' response to that was. And maybe it's just loud because it was on social media. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody to see if they really felt that way who's like really churchy. But I'm kind of surprised. Honestly, yeah, and when I say church folks, I mean black church folks. I'm kind of surprised. Just like slight, like kind of.
I'm also a little bit surprised just because the movie's called Sinners. It's about vampires. And then they go into, they're like, oh my gosh. Oh, I just felt it in my spirit that it was just evil and demonic. It's like, it's about vampires. Yes, it's demonic.
They weren't even, like, talking about the vampires part. So that's what got me. I'm like, Y'all saw the root work for 2 minutes and was like, nope.
Which you would think, because when you're drinking the blood of somebody, the symbolic blood of someone, and eating their symbolic bones. But that's not root work either. I was like, mm.
They really okay, were, then. They really were clutching their pearls. You weren't surprised by the church folks' response? Okay, in all honesty, I don't talk to church folks like that. But it's just more so it's like, I guess I gotta ask.
That is hilarious. Oh, not coming back to the Lord. It's like, I'm gonna let you think it too. I'm like, yep, it sure is.
I can see with that thought why she might be disappointed in what it actually was.
Oh, like at this point, I wonder if my grandmother has seen it. I bet she has. She's a church going lady, but she also saw The Wolf of Wall Street.
So okay, I'm like, well.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
That's different.
I know that was uncomfortable for my sister. And she was just like, girl, that moment when he was doing blow off her ass. She was like, and I looked over at grandmother and she was just giggling. I was just like, oh.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I was like, oh. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tell my grandmother, go see the movie.
She might like it.
She might. She'll probably like the singing.
Yeah.
Because Preacher Boy could sing his ass off.
Yeah. He be singing in real life. He's apparently the son of a gospel artist. I forgot her name. Or someone
sung backup for her.
Yeah. And then taught him. Well, he learned the guitar for this role. I don't know if he taught himself, but he learned how to play guitar for this role.
Yeah. It's like, it's pretty cool. They're a pretty talented cast.
And yeah.
I like how we could have that whole conversation and the people who'd be so mad when you bring up Hailee Steinfeld. And we had the whole conversation without even bringing her up, which is hilarious. I just thought about that. I'm like, not once did we be like, well, Mary was my favorite. But she was good too.
She was good.
She played her part.
She played a part.
Yes. I was like, played it to a T.
Yep.
I was like, they're a talented cast. So it's just like, oh, cool.
But also it's like, I would say it was like, she irritated me. I was like, oh, of course, God dog it. You would be the one to go out there, but I wouldn't say I hated her.
I understood why she went out, and she was right when she was like, I can fill them out because they're more liable to talk to me.
Right.
I was like, yes. Or I felt her when she, when he told her that she was, I got you a husband, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I didn't want to be that. I'm like, oh, she didn't want to be that side of her.
Right. Which I get, I was like, girl, this is the 1930s. You can't be with who you want, unfortunately. Not there.
No. Yeah, like, yeah, she was doing it for Stack and just going out there. Oh yeah, her opening line. I have been calling it a coos ever since. Every time I talk about something, I was like, the coos.
But yes, definitely layers. Like you said, she was correct, because it was like, no, she got a point. They'll be more responsive to her because of how she looked, but.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
how'd she get in here?
Right.
It was like, don't worry about me.
But overall, loved it. I think he was the one who said in the chat that she was getting the DVD. I'm getting the DVD too. So.
And cool thing about the DVD, in theaters, they did the ratio change. And they said they're keeping that for the DVD. So that way it'll expand and like go down like it did in theaters.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know why that couldn't wait. Yeah. But. Yeah.
The soundtrack. Yeah.
It's too
fun. Yeah, the soundtrack.
I'll probably get the soundtrack too. I'll probably like download it on Spotify so that my Spotify will update and like
really good.
I'll have something for my year end wrap up. All right. Anything else before we wrap up? Because I gotta go back to editing because Kingdom Hearts news dump. just editing my night away.
I know. Edit. But no, nothing else on that. It's just, I think we lived it on a high note with Sinners, other than side tangent. Do you know that they have Capri Sun in the bottle now?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I love it.
I've tried to be really disciplined. I only drink water, oat milk for my oats, but water. So I haven't really been drinking of the juices. I'm broadening out to water and cranberry juice, but that's about it.
Yeah. I haven't given up my juices yet. I'm trying to I'm going to eventually because I have to give them up.
Yeah.
So that's going to be sucky. So I'm trying to find the different alternatives like the monk fruit extract.
Yeah, yeah.
To put in stuff to sweeten it to see if I like that and all that crap. but yes, I was excited when I saw the Capri Sun. I was like, because they sell it not only in these bottles, but they sell it in the big bottles.
Interesting.
And I was like, yes. I was like, this my inner child is like, yes. Because I love Capri Suns. But also, I'm an adult. So when you're drinking that little pouch,
that's fair.
It does not quench your thirst.
It does not.
That's like two sips.
It is.
So this, I was like, oh, yeah, like, how many ounces is this?
It's like
12 ounces.
Oh, 12, okay.
Yeah, so this is a 12 ounce, and I was just like, nope. I was like,
it'll do.
It's like, I love it. But yes, that was like my side tangent of randomness.
I get it. Oh, y'all thought I said going to Italy? I wish. Nope. Right. Just to Premiere Pro. on my Adobe. That's all. Anyways, all right. We appreciate y'all for coming out to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. We will catch y'all next time.